Good evening. I'm David Brinkley in Washington. Edwin Newman is in New York. The railroad strike is still set for 1 minute after midnight tonight. Congress, down to the last, is trying to stop it, trying to delay it until March 1st and giving the union a substantial pay increase in the meantime. It is not clear at this hour that the union leaders will call off the strike whatever Congress does. There is brave talk about going to jail and so on in defense of the members' demands for more money. Congress is not well equipped to be an agent of collective bargaining or a settler of labor disputes, but it has the job now because there is no one else left. President Nixon has used up his legal powers. Congress members generally agreed today a railroad strike for any length of time would produce a national emergency and therefore could not be allowed. Today, the union and railroad leaders went before a Senate committee, and it was clear they are far apart on such questions as a delay until March 1st and running the railroads during a strike.
We're not mad at the public. We don't want to hurt the public. We're not mad at the government. We don't want to hurt the government. We will operate all the commuter trains if the railroads will let us.
If the railroads will let us.
We will operate any train, and any government official says it has to be moved, whether it's for the health, welfare, the war, or what it is. And I will see that train crews are furnished to handle it.
Take, for instance, a train load of ore. Which cars of that ore are going to go into defense material, and which cars of that ore are going to go into other than defense material? I heard it mentioned here that the unions would supply food to stricken areas. Well, which food will go to a stricken area and which food will not go to a stricken area? And I just wonder which Solomon is going to segregate those as between those that are important and those that are not important.
As long as you keep giving the railroads relief by these kind of sessions and keep giving them delays, they never will buckle down and settle these issues.
Contrary to what has been said here by the unions, we feel that during this extension time, that if good faith bargaining is entered into, and outside considerations such as trying to keep up with the other Jones unions is left out of the negotiations, we might have a chance of settling.
The U.S. Post Office, effective now, will refuse to take any mail except first class if it is going more than 300 miles. That's in anticipation of a strike that would, if it went on, give the Post Office, before Christmas, a suffocating snowfall of undelivered mail. First class mail they will still accept. Most of that, if it's going any distance, is moved by air. Ed?
New York City has its share of labor trouble, too. A taxi driver strike, which began last weekend and shows no signs of being settled. And today, a longshoreman strike. More than 11,000 men walked out, tying up 57 ships. They object to certain hiring practices, and they say also that the shippers are $7 million behind in payments to union benefit funds. Late this afternoon, the longshoremen agreed to return to work tomorrow and negotiate. In Britain, the slowdown by electrical workers has reached the point where four-fifths of the country today was blacked out at one time or another. The House of Commons debated by candlelight for the first time since the Second World War.
Effects of the slowdown were enormous. Power officials said they were trying to spread the misery equally from one section of Britain to another. Traffic jams occurred all over as signal lights went out and police had to cope in the dark. Thousands went home to cold and dark flats. Dairies were hard hit. There was no power for automatic milking machines, and there was no way to cool milk obtained the old-fashioned way. Restaurants kept going if they had gas stoves, but the cooks had to administer their spices and sauces by candlelight. Beauty shops, stores, schools suddenly found themselves in the dark for 2 or 3 hours. The wide use of candles brought on a fire hazard. The government under Prime Minister Heath is taking a tough line. The government feels it cannot cave in the fight against inflation. Meantime, colder weather has increased the demand for power. The longer this slowdown goes on, the worse it gets. Ray Sharer, NBC News, London.
This is NBC Nightly News, Wednesday, December 9th, 1970. Brought to you by Absorbing Junior, the sore muscle rub that works effectively to relieve tired, aching muscles. Absorbing Junior works as hard as you do.
You work hard all your life, where does it get you? In the neck, in the back, in the shoulder. What are you going to do?
Absorbing Junior. Absorbing Junior's hard-working medicines increase circulation where you put it on. Penetrating heat gets deep into the muscles. Great. You work hard, you ache, get Absorbing Junior. Absorbing Junior works as hard as you do. You know, you're a good wife.
James Cross, the man held for 2 months by Quebec separatists, appeared at a news conference today in London and told what captivity was like. He said the men holding him took pictures of him with sticks of dynamite strapped to his head, but never made them public. Cross's wife was with him at the conference. These are some of the other things he said.
I was sitting in a room in the right-hand corner facing the television set with a hood like this, so that my vision was roughly this area in front of me. The kidnappers were always behind me. Whenever I had to get up and go to the lavatory, and I would ask their permission, I would then pull the hood down so that my face was completely covered, and I would be led out to the lavatory. In the cases where I wanted to wash or shower, I would be allowed to take the hood off, but the guard who was with me in the bathroom would himself wear a mask with eye slits, so that I never saw their faces during the period on which I, until about 2 o'clock last Thursday morning, when they took their, they allowed me to take my hood off. I mean, the game was up then, and we all sat around talking to one another for the last few hours.
You wrote in a letter, I believe, that was published, that you were probably being better treated than the FLQ prisoners?
Yes.
Why would you feel that way, or what did you feel was happening to the FLQ prisoners?
Well, look, I mean, this really is about the most stupid sort of attitude that the press has been taking. Do you really think that these letters were not dictated to me by the FLQ? I really got mad when people were suggesting that these were my thoughts that were coming out. I mean, of course they weren't. You don't think the FLQ are going to allow me to write what I want? I should say that I was never ill-treated in any way. I was never physically touched. During the first 2 weeks, the situation was a very interesting one from a political point of view. And I discussed with them quite a bit about their aims and what they were trying to achieve in a political sense. And I found this, as a student of political science, interesting. However, I found that talking to them for long periods in French, my French is fairly poor, made me very tired. And so I began to cut down these sessions. I also, frankly, felt after the death of Pierre Laporte that I didn't want to talk to them too much. And for the second half of the period, after Laporte's death, relations were amicable but limited. We lived in two solitudes, me and my little chair, and them and the rest of the house. And we occasionally would talk about something that... We would, of course, discuss the communiques when they wanted to send a communique. We might discuss something that happened on television or something on the news, but these were not conversations of long duration.
Mr. Cross, John Bierman, BBC Television News. In general terms, what do you think should be the policies of governments in the case of political kidnapping? Should they reject the kidnapper's demands, as in your case, and risk the victim's life, or should they put the safety of the victim above all other considerations?
I thought about little else for 60 days, and I know no more of the answer than I did when I started.
The United States Deputy Attorney General Richard Kleindienst was asked what the United States should do if it has to deal with political kidnappings. Kleindienst replied that no deal should be made for anybody except the president and vice president. He said it would be better to make one sacrifice and then there would never be another incident. The Swiss ambassador to Brazil was kidnapped on Monday. Today, the Swiss embassy in Rio de Janeiro said it had heard from the ambassador that he was in good health. The kidnappers have offered to exchange the ambassador for 70 political prisoners. The Brazilian government says that when it gets a handwritten letter from the ambassador, it will negotiate. David?
The Senate Finance Committee voted today to raise the Social Security taxes by $2.5 billion in 1971 and to raise it still more in future years. That's to pay for the increased retirement benefits already voted. They voted to raise it in 71 to $468, or close to $40 a month.
I like to make people laugh, but this is nothing to laugh about. If you're a woman 15 to 50, you may have the feminine iron problem. Little or no reserves of blood-building iron. 2 out of 3 young women tested had this condition. So do as I do. Take FemIron, the all-iron tablet, to help rebuild your iron reserves, to help you prevent anemia. For your feminine iron problem, every day take FemIron, the very, very feminine iron tablet.
11:10 p.m. Can't sleep. 11:30. Wide awake. 11:45. Still awake. When you sometimes take too long to fall asleep at night, take Somanex as directed for 100% safe sleep. Somanex, with its 3 medical ingredients, quickly helps make you drowsy, helps you get to sleep. When you take too long to fall asleep at night, take Somanex and sleep, sleep, sleep.
A report from Laos today, the U.S. Air Force, in its heaviest bombing raids of the war, tried to stop the movement of communist supplies down the Ho Chi Minh Trail. They dropped 3,000 tons a day for 2 months. The bombing failed, as the bombing of supply lines has generally failed throughout the war. So a force of 2,500 Laotian ground troops, organized by the U.S., attacked on the ground with great success, they said, killing 400 North Vietnamese and destroying tons of supplies. Defense Secretary Laird went down to Fort Bragg, North Carolina today and decorated 97 men who raided the prisoner of war camp. He said even though the raid rescued no prisoners, it was not a failure.
Questions have been raised about the planning and outcome of the Sante raid, but there's no question about the bravery of the raiders, and the Nixon administration has heaped honors on them. Congress was asked to commend their heroism. President Nixon pinned medals on the leaders, and today Defense Secretary Laird flew to Fort Bragg, North Carolina to hand out more medals.
Now, Sergeant Charles G. Eckerson.
Laird presented medals to 96 soldiers and airmen.
To Staff Sergeant Robert F. Nelson.
The citations reveal new details of the raid. For instance, one man stood in the compound under fire shouting instructions through a bullhorn to the prisoners he thought were there. Another fought off North Vietnamese reinforcements trying to reach the East Gate.
To Master Sergeant David B. McLeod, Jr.
If a similar chance to save Americans were to arise tomorrow, I would, as Secretary of Defense, act just as I did in approving and supporting the effort at Sante. Because what was done at Sante, there is a flame of hope that burns higher, I believe, in the hearts of our prisoners themselves.
The Army said these 96 medal winners, plus 5 honored elsewhere, a total of 101 men, were all the commandos landed at Sante, the first time the size of the raiding team was revealed. Ron Nesson, NBC News, Fort Bragg, North Carolina.
In Lieutenant Kelly's trial at Fort Benning, Georgia, his defense says now it will try to show that the bodies of all those women and children were there before Kelly's platoon arrived, that they were killed by helicopter, gunfire, and artillery. This was in the trial today.
There were legal arguments today, no testimony. The defense and the prosecution went over depositions made by those who can't appear at the trial. In the course of this, a helicopter crewman was quoted as saying there were bodies in those ditches before the Americans landed. The testimony will be important to the defense. The Dutch apparently refers to the point where Army witnesses said Lieutenant Kelly gunned down villagers. The implication of today's disclosure is that the people were killed by helicopter gunships or artillery. This is the course the defense will take when it starts outlining its case, probably tomorrow. Lieutenant Kelly's civilian attorney, George Latimer, said he'll pursue two other points, obedience to orders and what he called legal acts of war. Robert Goralski, NBC News at Fort Benning, Georgia.
In the South Vietnamese town of Quy Nhon, a U.S. Army truck full of food and other supplies was parked. A group of South Vietnamese youngsters, the Army says, were trying to steal from the truck's cargo. A soldier guarding it fired a shot to warn them away and by accident struck a 13-year-old boy and killed him. That led to anti-American riots, stoning, and burning. All Americans of all ranks were ordered off the town's streets today while the boy was buried. Ed?
As a result of the election in Pakistan on Monday, it appears that two left-wing parties will form a coalition to control the new National Assembly. The Assembly's first job will be to draw up a constitution. The head of one of the victorious parties, former Foreign Minister Zulfikar Ali Bhutto, today promised a constitution that will end every kind of exploitation, social injustice, hunger, ignorance, repression, and fraud, and will make people prosperous. That would be a big order anywhere. It will be bigger still in the disaster areas of East Pakistan.
The tidal wave hit the East Pakistan Delta over 3 weeks ago, and the people here are still picking themselves up, slowly, wearily. They are sorting out what's left in the debris, trying to rebuild their homes and their lives. Many whose homes were completely washed away are living in shelters made of rice straw. The government of Pakistan has promised to provide housing materials, sheet tin and bamboo, but deliveries have been slow. Even though the rice was ruined by the flood of salt water, still the people here need it, so they are bringing in a bitter harvest. Relief supplies from the outside world are pouring in. Blankets from Canada, medicines from the Soviet Union, rice from Red China, and a long list of items from the United States, which got more relief supplies here quicker than any other nation. The supplies are going out as quickly as possible. Normal lines of supply into the stricken areas are reopening also, and more the relief goods are going in by truck and riverboat. The relief supplies are no longer being scattered from hovering helicopters in random fashion. Now, distribution centers have been set up throughout much of the disaster area. At these centers, Pakistani government bureaucrats carefully dole out measured amounts of clothing and food, wheat and rice, 1 pound per family per day. After a slow start, the government now appears to be doing about as well as could be expected. This is largely an illiterate nation, so each recipient is identified by his thumbprint. This emergency relief program is saving countless lives here, but it is providing only temporary salvation. If the people of East Pakistan are to survive this winter, some sort of massive, long-range aid program must be organized. What little these people had, they lost, and now they're desperate. They won't be able to feed themselves for at least another year. So if they are to survive, someone else has got to feed them. Douglas Kiker, NBC News, East Pakistan.
Welcome to Busch Gardens at the Los Angeles home of Budweiser. Start your tour with a quick Skyrail ride around and through the brewery itself. Then the gardens.
Your captain and guide as we tour this beautiful Busch Gardens.
Finally, you wind up here at the Budweiser Pavilion with an ice-cold Budweiser in your hand. And that's the best way in the world to wind up any day. But you know that.
Borrowing money is just a matter of addition. You tell the man in charge of loans the amount of money you want. Then he tells you how much he'll lend you. At Beneficial Finance, no matter where you may be borrowing now, we want to lend you the full amount you have in mind. That's why at Beneficial we say, you're good for more.
NBC Nightly News continues, brought to you by Salem, the springtime cigarette with natural menthol, not the artificial kind. Springtime, it happens every Salem.
Springtime, it happens every Salem. Springtime, it happens every Salem.
Natural menthol, not the artificial kind. That's why Salem tastes springtime soft, springtime fresh. It's only natural.
Springtime, yeah, it happens every Salem.
A brand new way to smuggle. The police in Taipei, Formosa, say narcotic smugglers have begun slipping their merchandise into the country in small packages taped to the feet of homing pigeons. Just how they might stop that, they don't say. The Russians like to say the U.S. is destroying itself with narcotics. Today, they report the discovery of an active trade in hashish, a stronger form of marijuana, and other drugs in one of their republics, and they say they have found many addicts. In Honolulu, an official in the tourist trade says the famous waters at Waikiki are in danger of becoming so polluted that swimmers and surfers will not be able to use them. Ed?
The mayors of 11 large cities decided today to lobby personally for the manpower training bill now before Congress. The bill carries $200 million for cities to hire the unemployed. Unemployment among men returning from Vietnam is said to be 20%, and the mayors want to put them to work. A man spoke to the United Nations General Assembly for nearly 10 minutes today before it was discovered that he spoke for nobody but himself. He had represented himself as a delegate from Laos. He turned out to be a South Vietnamese lawyer who lives in Paris. And his speech sounded just as United Nations-like as the real thing.
The United Nations, why should it stay at the same point that it was 25 years ago and refuse to evolve in the light of the new situation of states and the new nature of the problems of the world? Because many institutions... Gentlemen, I'm sorry. Sir... I'm sorry to interrupt you. I've just been informed that you are not formally a member of the delegation of Laos announced to the Assembly. Is that the truth?
Monsieur le chef de la délégation, qui est Monsieur Platana.
The head of the delegation.
Que je parle.
It is not enough for the head of the delegation to agree with you. There are only some people who have been formally announced as being able to participate in our debate.
Borrowing money is just a matter of addition. Decide on the things you want to give, the way you want to enjoy the holidays. That one big gift for the family. Then add it up and come to Beneficial Finance. At Beneficial, we want to lend you the full amount you have in mind. That's why, at Beneficial, we say, you're good for more.
Bottles change. Well, even the labels changed a little. But the beer inside, never. Still brewed the same traditional way. Still using the Beechwood aging process. Still taking more time and costing more to brew. Because this is the king of beers. But you know that.
President Nixon will have his first regular news conference in 4 months. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time. It'll be seen live on the television networks, including, of course, NBC. Two San Francisco department stores have Santa Clauses who are former aerospace engineers earning $25,000 a year or more, now unemployed, and working at a job that is, by its nature, temporary. The New York Stock Exchange started the day badly, but rallied and did a little better. The Dow Jones Industrials gained a fraction of a point, and an average share on the New York Exchange went up 1 cent. On the American, an average share lost 1 cent. Ed?
The British Prime Minister, Edward Heath, has brought in a bill to reform British labor relations somewhat along American lines, and especially to cut down on wildcat strikes, which are as British as fish and chips. Left-wingers in the unions yesterday staged a march against the bill. But a lot of people in London love a parade. The opportunity was too good to pass up, and a remarkable variety of causes was represented.
Where am I going?
Well, you do, don't you?
Sure.
Hey, you owe the country to ransom you.
Things have changed in England. Not long ago, they might have been called eccentric. Thank you, and good night for NBC News.